Good morning, church. Well, it was good to get away, but it's even better to be back with you. If you don't know, my name is Pastor Jim. I'm just one of the ministers here, just one. There are ministers all around this place, but for the last few weeks, I was away in England, and what a joy it was to follow in the steps of John Wesley all through England. But it's even better, I think, to come back to you and to share with you all of the wonderful adventures that we had. As you can hear, I don't have a lot of voice. If allergies in Western Pennsylvania, and it's hitting me later in the year up here in the mountains. Usually this is when I walk into an Easter service and all those flowers are there. That does it for me. But it's a little delayed because, for one, I was away, but also up here in the mountains, things take longer. It feels like there's a balloon in my head that's being blown up, and it feels like the pressure is on my face that's just going to go, poof. I pray that won't happen here. I'm sure you're praying that as well, but it is good to be back with you. I missed you. And I love to worship in this place. It's a very special place for me, and I know it is for you. And I want to share with you a very special certificate that we have here. I want to invite Tom to come up here to receive this. I missed our district conference this year because I was 3,000 miles away. What a shame to miss the district conference. But one of the things they do at the district conference is they recognize churches that have paid their apportionment to the conference at 100%. This church has paid 100% of their apportionment to the annual conference for as long as there are records. As far back as you can look, this history has a record of paying its 100% full share to the conference to be used in the general work of the United Methodist Church. So give yourselves a hand for that. That's incredible. Not every church can say that. And they gave us this nice certificate, which I put in this nice suitable frame, suitable for framing. Tom is, as you may or may not know, he served last year as your finance chairperson, and this year he's taken on the task of our treasurer here. And so, Tom, I present that to you on behalf of the church to put that someplace in the building where it'll be seen and enjoyed by all. So thank you, Tom, for your work as well. I give that to Tom, but there's a lot of people around this room, like Pam and Dave Penrod, before Tom took the treasurer job, who do the work to make sure that our money is being spent in a way that is, first of all, honoring to God, and second of all, honoring to you. We want to make sure that when you give your offerings to the church, that they're being used in a way that is as ethically and financially as secure as possible, and we don't want a penny of that to go to waste. So they do amazing work, and it's a joy to be part of a church that is always keeping an eye on how we spend our funds here. It's a wonderful place to be. I'm going to invite you to come with me into Scripture, and you'll find that in the Gospel of John. I'd ask you, out of reverence for the Gospel, to stand with me as we read together these words of Scripture today. Listen, for Jesus is speaking to you, each one of you, through these ancient words today. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Join me in prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may apply what your word has given to us in our daily lives, that we might be disciples of yours, and by being your disciples, transform the world in your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, a wonderful bit of the Holy Spirit at work, how all of these things work together. Here we have a certificate that reminds us of our connection to a body of believers that is bigger than ourselves. The United Methodist Church, this organization of Christian believers that started long, long ago, not just with John Wesley in England, but with Jacob Albright, with many other people, with Susanna Wesley, John Wesley's mother, who instilled in him early the duty of Christian worship, of service to others, of personal and social holiness. The idea that our beliefs, our faith, is not something that we keep hidden inside for ourselves. But as Jesus said, you cannot put a candle under a basket. The light will shine, and it shines in the world. And so we believe, as Christians, first of all, but also as these people called Methodists, that our light shines in the world. And as that light shines, others see the light and are drawn closer, not to us, but to God through the light that shines through us. That's an amazing trust that God places in our lives, that God is willing to give us the keys to the car. They take it out for a spin and see where it takes you. Trust in me, he says. Trust in me and go out into that world and see where this crazy world will take you. For John Wesley, it started in a little village, not a city, not a town, this little village called Epworth. I had the joy of walking through his house and seeing where he grew up, seeing the kitchen where his mom worked so hard to provide for 10 kids. That's a lot of kids. And that young boy who grew up to be this man, this very short man, he's about this tall, 5'2", changed the world because he was not willing to let the light that Jesus had given to him just shine within himself. He could have been in Oxford, lived a life of luxury. He was teaching, he was working through students, but it wasn't enough to just sit in some place and keep the light to himself. He had to share it with the world. Now, he tried to do it in America. That didn't go too well. We will talk about that someday. But it started this little spark that ignited England. And he went to Bristol, and he went to all the way up north into Scotland and over into Wales, all around this little island, preaching that Jesus has a plan for you. In the time when Wesley was doing this, the Church of England, the big authorities, the religious rulers at the time, said the only place where Jesus can be at work is within the walls of the Church of England. If you're in here, you're in. If you're outside, nice knowing you. It was so important that they believed that all preaching could only take place in the walls of the church. England went through a great civil war between the forces of the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, and between Parliament and the King. And they were so sick of all the infighting, all of the battles, that if you went outside of the four walls of the church and you showed any kind of enthusiasm for your faith, the kind of enthusiasm and passion that we heard from Brett, if you showed that outside the church, you know what happened? They said, curb your enthusiasm. Was that a good English accent? That's where the phrase comes from. Curb your enthusiasm. Because don't you realize we just had a big war over all this nonsense? Keep the church in the church. And don't bother us with talk of God outside of church. John Wesley challenged that. And there were people outside of the church who were not invited into the church. Not only by the people within a church, they were actively told, there's no place for you in our church. The poor, the dirty people who got their hands soiled, working in the mines, working in the fields, they were told, there's no place for you here. You can't come into the church, you're going to mess it all up. And trust me, I've seen those cathedrals now, I've been inside them, and you could fit this church inside of those massive structures. And they make very nice museums. They make very nice monuments to a thing that used to be. But what happened? The church can't be contained in a box. It's a very lovely box. It's beautiful. I've got pictures of those great big stained glass windows, everything. But the church can't be contained within a box. And when John Wesley challenged that, he was told, "What are you doing? Curb your enthusiasm." He went to the church where his father was the minister for many years and had passed away. And when John Wesley came to that church to preach, they told him, there's no place for you here, for your kind of nonsense that Jesus has love for everyone, even the rabble. Are you kidding me? And so John Wesley left that church, that big building, a beautiful building, and there on the ground he found his father's grave. And he said, I may not own any of this property around here, but I think that this property is mine, my father's grave. It's one of those flat gravestones, very nice. And so he stood on the grave, not to make a big show of himself, but because that was the only place in that town where he could preach, because that land belonged to him. And there he preached the message of Jesus Christ, salvation available to everyone, regardless of your social status, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of anything, any human barrier that we would put in front of you. Jesus knocks those down and welcomes you in. I'd love to think that we still have that kind of passion in the United Methodist Church. I want to believe that, and I want to believe that when we give our money to the United Methodist Church, that we are doing God's work in the world. I passed boom, right? I'm going to be ordained. I don't believe that we always do that effectively in United Methodist Church. Can I say that? I don't agree with everything United Methodist Church does. And I know that if I'm looking at 80, 90 people in here, there are 80 and 90 people who can probably say the same thing about not only the United Methodist Church, but this church itself. But I do know this. I do know that we are being as faithful as we can and trusting in God. And that's really all we can do. We'll never get 100% agreement, even within couples and families, of how God is best, how we are best able to express the love that God has, how we are best able to do God's will in the world. We'll never have 100% agreement. But that doesn't mean that we should then stop even trying. Because that's often what happens, isn't it? Oh, look at the system that we're up against. Look at what we're up against. I don't even feel like going on because I see how difficult the task is. That's no excuse. Jesus doesn't give us that out. Jesus says, everybody who came before me were thieves and robbers. That's pretty severe, isn't it? But that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't continue to call. And Jesus doesn't keep the sheep safe in... I sound like a teenager. Jesus doesn't give us permission as his sheep, as his followers, to remain safely in the sheep pen, does he? What does Jesus do in our passage in John? He calls the sheep out of that nice, safe fold, that nice, safe pen, and then leads them out into the world. Jesus hasn't stopped doing that. And Jesus continues to call us to be the light in the world. Brett's absolutely right. That we go to these social places, and yes, God is disinvited, it seems. Curb your enthusiasm. That doesn't mean that we as a church give up proclaiming God's name. How else will they hear if they don't hear it from us? How else will the world hear if we are not being the light that shines in the world? When the people in the church told John Wesley, those people out there aren't invited, John Wesley said, if they're not invited here, then I'll go to them. And that's exactly what he did. And that example is meant for us today as well. When we are told God's not invited here, that's where we can know that God is being invited. In fact, God is inviting us to go to those places, to be the voice that speaks the word of truth to them. Boy, that sounds like a lot of work. But thanks be to God, he doesn't just send us out there. Jesus is leading us into those places. We believe, here in this church, we believe in the United Methodist Church, and I believe we believe as a church in general, Protestant, Catholic, Baptist, even Presbyterians, believe that we are called to ministry to the least of these. Those who do not hear the voice, that's not true. God is calling us to go and proclaim to them. One of the ways we do that here is by our ministry to the poor. We get to experience Jesus face to face when we go into ministry with the poor. We see that when we go and we collect coats and we take them into the community and we give them away. We see the face of Jesus Christ. We get to be the light when we do that. We see Jesus at work when we collect school materials for our area school districts. And we give those to the children who may not, by any other reason, have the supplies. We do that as a church. But I also believe that there's a calling for each one of us as well to find a ministry for our own selves. To see where God is calling us individually, because as a church we can't, one big unit, we can't do it all. But each of us working where God's called us to work will change the world. We'll change this little town of Winbur and Central City and Johnstown, Davidsville. When we're looking, when we're being the light, when we're going where the shepherd leads us, he's calling us not to stay in the pen, but to leave the pen, to go into the world and make disciples for Jesus Christ. That's a big calling. But I trust that the Holy Spirit is always equipping us for the task. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.